Summer may be brief, but the Taos News can help you savor your fun in the sun. Share a photo of your summertime adventures on taosnews.com for a chance to win great prizes. We have weekly prizes from Taos Burger Stand. We also have a first prize gift card to Taos Tack and Feed and a grand prize grill from Rio Grande Ace Hardware. Head to taosnews.com to learn more. Welcome to Voices of Taos. My name is Laura Martin Baseman, and I'm the producer of this podcast from the Taos News. Every week, we will be bringing you a voice from our Taos community.
Hi, my name is Liam Easley. I'm a reporter over at Taos News. Today we have Dr. Antonio Layton Jr., the new superintendent over at Taos Municipal Schools. Started his tenure there on May 20th?
That is correct.
Awesome. So, yeah, why don't you tell me a little bit about first, not even month, I guess.
Right. I'd like to say that I'm 4 weeks old as a superintendent here at Taos, so it's actually been a great first 4 weeks. The first week for me was essentially the last week of school for our district. So one of my priorities was to be at the campuses. I wanted to introduce myself to the kids, the staff, to let them know who their next superintendent is. And because I'm sure they were like, who's this guy coming in? You know, and of course, coming in with a suit and a tie, and they're like, who's this guy? So my priority was to make sure and visit with the campuses and be able to connect with the students as they leave for the summer. And that way they, once they come back at the beginning of the school year, they at least have an idea of who their district leader is.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. Yeah, and it's been a pretty tumultuous first few weeks for you. I mean, it's been a lot happening over at the district, but there's also a lot of things that people are wanting to know, like how metrics are being raised. Do you want to just get right into the meat and potatoes of this?
Or? Sure. One of the things I do want to do is I do want to offer my condolences. We did have a tragic loss this weekend of one of our students, and I want to offer our sincerest condolences to the family. It's always a tragic time, but like any family, we pull together to support our systems, our students, and our staff. So what questions do you have?
I know that we wanted to talk a little bit about attendance mm-hmm. and things like that over at the schools. Coming into this district for the first time, what is your perspective on the attendance there, especially with your past experiences over in Southern Texas?
Well, it's an excellent topic, Liam, and I appreciate you asking me, because without having the students in the classroom, it's, you can't then impact your scores. You can't impact their graduation. You can't impact the choices that they're going to have as they graduate from our district. And so that is going to be a big part of our goal-setting strategy that we're going to be implementing, and how to improve attendance. And one of those initiatives, I like to say I joke with my staff, but it's going to be like a comeback tour. And I'll be going to a lot of our community organizations, our parishes, and enlisting the help of our community to bring back our students. We, over the course of the last few years, we did lose a few for variety of reasons. Some left to different districts, some may just have not come back. And so we're going to be doing a comeback tour and trying to emphasize that, of course, being in school is the best place for our kids. And part of that is going to be for me to also rebuild that confidence in our community and our parents that the Taos Municipal Schools is the place to be. And having said that, some of the changes that we're going to see for this coming year is our priorities, our goals. And this coming year, one of the ways to, of course, impact attendance and also to impact our scores is we're going to be hiring two math interventionists, one for elementary and one for secondary, and reviewing our scores. That was a big area of need, getting feedback from our kids, from our staff, from our administrators. And so we're going to provide that support. Rancho's Elementary will be getting a new assistant principal to help with that campus in particular. So we're going to be providing a lot of the support systems to our staff and our teachers so they, in turn, can provide that support to our students. So I'll be doing a comeback tour and to talk to our community about, and our parents, about how we're providing those support systems so they have that confidence that they can bring their kids back into our school systems.
Yeah. So can you tell me about this tour? I mean, when you say tour, but what does that mean? Is that like a physical event or like what is this?
Well, I like that because it's just one of those where I say comeback tour because like being here for Voices of Taos, I'll be attending the parishes, some of the community events. I believe some of our clubs and organizations that we have in the community itself to speak to what support systems we're providing so that they can, I want to enlist their help. What I can say as a superintendent, I can't do this alone. Our school system can't do this alone. And so we need the help of our community to spread the news of the support systems that we're providing so that they can spread the news and let the parents know to have our kids back in our schools for this coming year. We're also going to talk about, you know, not just getting them there, but on time, all day, you know. Sans, of course, we have medical emergencies and doctor's appointments and stuff like that. But the idea behind that is to provide that information on a comeback tour, so to speak. And I jokingly say it, but it's really to emphasize for our students, for them to come back. And so that is part of the what I like to call the comeback tour.
Nice. So it's one thing to bring students back to the district, but what are some initiatives that you have to bring some staff back? Because there's a lot of vacant positions, and just in my own conversations, it sounds like less applicants. So what are some ways that you're trying to entice people to come into the district?
Well, and that's a very good question, because across the state and really across the nation, there is a major shortage of teachers. And having different perspectives from two different states, several districts, there is a shortage of our teachers. And one of the ways that we can recruit our new teachers is by providing those support systems that teachers need in the classroom. So case in point, the math interventionists. When we do make those selections, they are going to be an extension of the classroom, to supplement and support our teachers' instruction in the classroom. And so by providing that support system, that's part of the recruiting tool that we can push out there to let them know that if you do come to our district, you'll be provided that support systems and that help needed to help instruct our students. And so that's part of the recruiting tool. And collectively, I'm bringing my cabinet and our campus leaders together to come up with some new ideas to see what else we can do. Compensation, I know we do well, but we also are cognizant of the area, and the cost of living is pretty high. But nonetheless, what we're trying to do is at least supplement that with a robust compensation, as well providing the support in the classrooms. And there's literature out there that says that, you know, teachers, as if they feel supported, that they stay. And then, of course, that's a recruitment tool for those wanting to be within our district.
What are some lessons you bring with you from Southern Texas and in these school districts that you worked with down there? Actually, I'm curious, did they have staffing issues of their own?
Absolutely. In Southern Texas, where I come from, we did have staffing issues as well. So part of the recruitment tool is we had job fairs. We promoted the positiveness that we do bring, the student accomplishments, and we let them know this is where the place to be and this is what I'd like to bring. But it'll be coupled with goal-setting strategies. I mean, we can and what I mean by that is in any organization, if you don't have a goal or particular vision of doing things, you can get lost in the day-to-day operations. And so part of what I bring to the district is goal-setting strategies where we're going to focus on two to three goals that will have the biggest impact within our community and within our organization at the district. And so those goals then trickle down into the campuses, and how do we support those two major goals? Now, we have yet to set those yet because we are in that discussion phase of what will those two goals be. The more likelihood is they're going to be centered around attendance and academics. So each of the different components of our district, from district to the campuses to the classrooms, is how do we help support those goals and develop those goals that will have the biggest impact in their areas. And then, of course, once they have those goals set and how they're going to achieve them and how we're going to hold ourselves accountable, then that lends itself to the campus goal. You know, I'm trying to focus on the classroom first. Then it helps the campus goal, right? Because each campus is individual, right? Has their unique values. And then from there, those goals, how do they help achieve the overall district goal? And so we'll have that collaborative approach. And we started some team building, and we're going to be implementing those ideas and developing those goals. And then for the next year, I wouldn't be surprised if throughout the district you're going to hear that a lot, goal settings and how we're going to hold each other accountable. What are we doing on a weekly basis that will help us achieve those goals? And hey, if we need to adjust based on the data, we're going to adjust. Start monitoring our progress throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. What are the differences between Texas and New Mexico in terms of collecting that kind of data?
Well, that's a good question, but data is pretty much data. I mean, we're talking about attendance. It's about kids being in school, right? When they're there, they're not there. So between the two states, it's very similar in that, you know, you start to collect the data of your how many students were there in attendance today versus yesterday and start collecting that data. When we talk about goals, it's one and the same. You know, kids are kids no matter what location you have, and you start to review what are the reasons that they're not attending school. Is it particular illnesses or is it just some family issues? But those are the kind of support systems that we offer. So when we collect the data, when we're talking about scores, when we're talking about attendance, very similar in what you want to do. You have formative assessments, you have summative assessments, but you have to review that data. Because once the data is in, there's nothing you can do about that data because it's already happened. But what you want to take the approach is, what can we now adjust so that we can impact that data? And this is part of those lead measures and lag measures that we're going to be implementing throughout the district. But the data is pretty much very similar. I mean, we will be looking at our English scores and our math scores and see what we can approach. But it's not going to be just focal point on just those two. It's now, how are the other subject areas, the content, the elective areas, how can they help support that and achieve the goals? And in the end, when our students graduate from Taos Municipal Schools and Taos High School specifically, we want our families to have those options. We want them to be able to say, what is our best pathway after graduating high school? And it's a choice for them to make, whether it's going to be working at a local restaurant or going to a major university. The concept is our families will have that option, and they will make the best decision for their family and their students and their kids.
On that topic, I think that there are a lot of administrators and educators in this district that really do place the child's future on a pedestal. You know, there's a lot of programs in place, a lot of, like Flex Fridays, for example, mm-hmm. that really try to push kids to go out there and explore their options post-graduation. But there's also a vast difference, right, between, and the reason I'm asking so many comparison questions between Texas and New Mexico, because New Mexico is last in the nation in education, you know, so we have a completely different approach over here. I'm just curious how you've seen that and what your, reaction has been to that.
Well, you know, that's a good point to talk about how New Mexico is not at the forefront, so to speak, based on the data. But what that also means is there's a lot of room for opportunity. And so when I researched our district and made the jump to here, I didn't see that as obstacles. I didn't see it as an issue or something that we can't overcome. I saw that as a huge opportunity to make a difference, because if we are last, as the data suggests, then that means there's a lot of room for improvement. And that means we have a lot of room for collective decisions and collaboration to make those improvements. And so I guess the best way to look at it is there's a lot of ceiling, a lot of room for the ceiling. And so this is a great opportunity to bring in different ideas from the different administrators and at the campus level, at the district level, and to research out there, what can we do to help those improvements? So I didn't see this as an obstacle or a problem. I saw this as an opportunity to help and bring those new ideas, because there's so much now room for that opportunity. And so doing the comparisons, those are the type of ideas that could be brought in here or collectively created so that we can tap into that opportunity to help improve our district.
With the effects of COVID, we've seen a huge difference in how the district operates and also how the student body operates. What are the differences pre and post COVID that you've noticed?
Well, obviously during COVID, and this was across the world, right? So, you know, we share a lot of the commonalities of students and families and how their approach was towards educating our kids. We still had to educate our students during that time. And of course, we shifted over to a lot of our Zoom, a lot of online classes and so on and so forth. And of course, students, that also meant they weren't next to their friends and they weren't there to collaborate with the social aspect of it. And solving problems, you know, that wasn't just through typing on a keyboard. And so now that we've moved post-COVID, those are some of the avenues that we're having to address, meaning we're also teaching our, besides teaching our kids content and how to have academic achievement, we're also having to work at how to be, how to social interact again. And it's not just through a phone or not just through a laptop. This is, my friend is next to me, we disagree with this. How do we cope with that? And so that's part of that approach. It's a difference of perspective now that we're all together. But it, at the same token, it is a great opportunity for us as a school system to think of our students holistically, not just on the academic side, but how can we help them adjust to being a social partner now, to being being able to problem solve. And it's not just a quick text anymore. Now this is two-way engagement, just like you and I are having here. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that we're having to teach our kids. But this last graduating class was one that had so many different years of instruction. And so this is really post-COVID a great opportunity to kind of bring back some of that traditional instructional methods. But we can't lose sight of the fact that it still happened. And so we now have to balance of traditional instruction, different strategy methods, to incorporating now our instructional technology. And so having said that, it is a good opportunity to remold how we do things in the classroom, but still with a mindset that we have all the same goal is to have our students graduate with the best opportunity and the best options that they're going to be able to get through the district.
One of the things that you guys are trying to do as a district is hire a new high school principal. How are some ways I think that you can add to that process and make sure it's smooth?
Well, we've gone through the process, actually, of looking for a high school principal. And, of course, a high school principal has a big impact on our district. And so after conducting exhaustive searches and exhaustive interviews, I'm happy to say that I have made a decision, and we are having a new high school principal, Emida Jesus Herrera. She will be the new high school principal for Taos High School. And so we're looking forward to a great year upcoming and bringing some new initiatives, but at the same token, honoring our past and continuing the success that has been there already. I want to give a big shout out and congratulations to Emmy. She is our new high school principal for the 24-25 school year and hopefully for years to come.
If you'd like to comment on this, but is there something that she brought to the position that excited you?
Yeah, and part of the committee responses was just her overall leadership. She is very well versed in academics, and if it is going to be a goal setting strategy and part of our initiatives to increase academics, you know, she is a former dean, and I say former because you know she's still the dean up until July 1st, but the lens of academics is something that we really, and I in particular, wanted to really focus on. Especially if we want to improve our academics, you wanted to have a leader that has that perspective and that lens in academics. But she is a community member. She's been here for many years. She has the respect of our staff and our students alike. She is a solid leader, and she's got a very bright future. And I look forward to her leadership at the campus level and as part of the overall district goal to help improve the quality of education. And she's a great leader, and I'm looking forward to working with her.
This is your first time coming to Taos, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Have you been to New Mexico before?
I did once when I was 18 years old, which was, I won't say right online, but quite a few years ago. But I was 18 years old. I was route sales for Keebler, and they needed somebody to come here for a couple of weeks just to take over a vacation route. And so that was the last time I was here in New Mexico. But having been here, met the community, it's a beautiful place to be. The community has been very welcoming. I'd like to say that it's been a blessing to be here. I look forward to the future here and immersing myself. And I think some people have mentioned that we see you all over the place. And I am part of this community now. And I'm immersing myself in every which way just so that we can do whatever we can collectively as a community to help our kids.
I just learned this morning, but today, Friday the 14th, I believe, mm-hmm. Is National New Mexico Day.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I'm learning that. That's good.
What's something that you've learned since becoming a resident here? Not just about Taos, but maybe even about New Mexico.
Well, you know, the culture is amazing here. from the food to the art to the music. It's beautiful, and it's really amazing to witness that firsthand. I mean, I'm looking at it like with a newborn eyes and trying to take it all in and soak it in. But, you know, that we're celebrating New Mexico is amazing that I get to see all of this for the first time, and I'm looking at it with awe and inspiration of the rich culture that we have and traditions. And, you know, I try to visit some of the different restaurants, and the food's amazing, you know. And mm-hmm. I remember I was asked, I had a staff meeting, and after I finished my speech and talking to them, I asked openly, you know, do y'all have any questions of me? And one of the first questions was, so red or green chili, right?
Yeah.
And so my answer, and for those of you listeners that are hearing, Christmas, you know, so, but both are very good. And so the food's amazing. The culture's amazing. I'm looking forward to engaging in more of those activities and then seeing how, as a school system, how we can be part of that if we aren't already, and bringing that, you know, immersing those two together. Our kids, you know, they're amazing, and they get a chance to be part of some of the outside festivities and activities, but how can we help incorporate that to kind of meld them together?
Do you think that what you've learned about the culture and the community, how is that going to be influencing you as a superintendent?
Well, like, you know, we are a family in a school district. We spend many hours together, sometimes many more than we do at home, you know. So learning of the different cultures and different activities, it's part of who our students are. It's part of who our staff is. And making sure that we honor the past and we honor the traditions and honor the culture is important. Because if we're family, and many times our school system is a place of home for our kids, we need to help honor those traditions and those cultures and bring it into our school systems so that they can feel just at home here as our schools, as just they would at home when they go to. And for, like I mentioned, some of our kids, this is their home.
Thank you so much, Dr. Layton, for sitting here with us and rest of your day.
Well, thank you, Liam, for inviting me, and thank you for Taos News for giving me this platform to express my comeback tour, at least to start it out and be able to talk about our district. And I look forward to working with Taos News in the future to keep all of our student accomplishments at the forefront.
Thank you for joining us for Voices of Taos, a podcast by the Taos News, produced by Laura Martin Baseman. Our music was produced and arranged by Miles Bonney, featuring musicians Francisco Velarde, Ruben Hernandez, and Margot Macias. Please join us next week for another episode of Voices of Taos.